Welcome to the Fabric Podcast and our conversation, Relationships That Work. Find resources to share these conversations with people in your life at fabricmpls.com and share your own thoughts there or by finding us on social media at fabricmpls.
Hi, everybody. Greg Meyer of Fabric Minneapolis here with you on our 10th week of being a virtual community. I guess I'd just as well say this is Greg Meyer of anywhere, since we're virtual, you might as well be everywhere. Anyway, hey, if you are listening or watching these messages from someplace other far away from where I am, hey, let me know. Drop me a line. Let me know how you're using these messages. I would really love to hear from you. Just contact me at Greg at Fabric Minneapolis, fabricmpls.com, Facebook. You know how to do that sort of stuff. Anyway, of all the things that I feel are true for us human beings, one is that it all comes down to relationships. Our meaning, our fulfillment, our security, our health, our happiness, it all comes down to relationships. That's how we are hardwired. We're hardwired psychologically, emotionally, socially, physically, even intellectually, to be in relationship, to be in community. To seek a meaningful life as an island is just simply a losing proposition. So learning how to have relationships that work, it's so important. And that is all the more true as we live under the shadow of the coronavirus right now. So it's a good thing that we're pausing and taking a look at, you know, relationships at work. Anyway, that life comes down to relationships, I mean, that's one thing I discovered, but here's another one. Sometimes the difference between success and failure depends on where you look. Simple as that. We've talked a lot about how it's easy to focus on what's wrong in your relationships, all the points of frustration, friction, misunderstanding, you know, those deviations from the course. Or on the other hand, you can focus on what you can do to get back on course, what you want your relationship to be about, what you see that destination to be. You can have all sorts of imperfections in your relationships and still have a good, you can even have a great relationship if you can keep looking to where you want to be headed. Okay? You can also see the difference that focusing on the right thing makes when it comes to concentrating on what is beyond your influence versus what is within your influence. It's easy to get sucked into focusing on what needs change, but you can't change, leaving you with like no time, energy, or attention for what could change. This is the next step to having healthy relationships, ones that work. Remember the pause, right? Pausing when your emotions and attention is peaked before you simply react. We don't only pause to ask what we should do, we pause to consider whether we should try to do anything at all. Is it something you can do anything about or not? An important question. Now, you have a lot of things that get your attention. You're a good person. You care about things. You're informed. There's a whole world full of stuff that matters to you and pulls at your heartstrings or pushes your buttons. Things that make you feel like you want to or should do something. All that stuff, that's your circle of concern. There is a lot of stuff in your circle of concern. Now, inside that circle of concern is a smaller circle. That's your circle of influence. These are not only things that you feel you ought to do something about, but you actually can do something about. They are within your influence. There is a lot less stuff in this circle. Now, some of you who have been following Fabric for some time are saying, oh, those circles again, you know, and I'm saying, you bet your sweet patootie it's the circles again. Yeah, the circles of concern and the circles of influence come up from time to time here, and I do this unapologetically, and not just for those who, you know, are new and haven't heard about it yet, but for those of us who have known about it, tried to practice it, and even taught it for 20-some years. Yeah, that's me, all right? This is a reasonably easy practice to understand, but one that we need to revisit over and over again to try to be able to apply it. It's not one of those got it, move on sort of concepts. So if you think you've got this mastered, then just humor the rest of us mere mortals and spend the time refining how you will induct the uninitiated into your superpower, okay? Okay. Anyway, let's go on here. So Stephen Covey, in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Families, and that's a resource that's been really helpful in a lot of things they're trying to talk about, he explains how your circle of influence is smaller and it is inside your circle of concern. Now, what that means is that there are things that you can do something about and things that you can't do anything about. Now, it may seem obvious that we wouldn't waste any time on things we can't change, but the truth is we spend an enormous amount of time on those things. In fact, much of the time, we don't even think about asking the question of whether something is within our influence or not. We're just triggered and we charge after it. And as you might expect, when we do it that way, it doesn't work very often. Now, this has enormous implications for our relationships. But let me point out a few basic results of operating in these two different arenas. First of all, that circle of concern. If you spend too much time beyond your circle of influence out there in that circle of concern, you're going to end up feeling tired, burnt out, cynical. You might even develop a victim mindset. After all, you're defining the world as a place that affects you, but that you can't do anything about. I mean, that's what makes a victim. So when something gets your attention, it's good to push that pause button and check in with yourself. Is this in my circle of influence? And if it isn't, then be careful about how you allow yourself to react. Let me give you a couple examples. When I learned that there's some tension between a friend of mine and her parents, that is out of my circle of influence, even though I really feel badly for my friend. So I can listen, I can be sympathetic and supportive, but it is not my job to fix their relationship. I'll give you another. When I learn about the tens of thousands of people that are suffering from COVID-19 right now, I can stay awake at night worrying about them, but that's my circle of concern. My influence is around my own behavior, hand washing, wearing a mask in public, social distancing, minding my own bubble to break the chain of infection. I can even make donations to organizations that might be able to make a difference or help strengthen social bonds wherever I can. But I can't make the virus go away or change the consequences of other people's actions. Now, if this conversation reminds you of the what is my role question of Cure IQ, then you're ahead of us right here. So congrats to you on that. All right, so if you're spending a lot of time in your circle of concern, guess where you aren't spending much time? In your circle of influence. Yeah, that means your circle of influence is shrinking because you aren't working within it. And because others very likely find you frustrating and discouraging to work with because you're trying to do things that you are powerless to do. That is shrinking your influence. Get the idea? Now, on the positive side, there's your circle of influence. When you spend time within it, within that circle of influence, you find that you tend to feel positive, you feel encouraged and effective. You're not beating your head against the wall, but instead you're chiseling away at what really matters to you in ways that you can actually do something. And more importantly, your circle of influence is expanding as you act within it. And you also then attract the cooperation of others who find you to be an empowering person to be with. Your circle of influence is expanding. Now, the big bonus relationally is that when you consistently operate within your own circle of influence, you encourage others to operate within theirs too. Relationships get healthier and better. We spend less time trying to fix other people, and we spend more time attending to who we really are and what we can do within relationships. Okay, now, if you're going to take away one thing from this notion that you have a circle of concern and within it a smaller circle of influence, let it be this. There is only one thing that is truly within your circle of influence, and you know what it is. The only thing that is truly within your circle of influence is yourself, at least as far as your relationships are concerned. And now what that might tell you is that the way to better relationships is not in focusing on changing the other person. You all also notice, by the way, that it is a circle of influence, not a circle of control. Nothing is really under your control, not even yourself. But your influence, yeah. Some things are within it and other things are not, and there are varying degrees of that in between. You have a lot of influence over whether you're going to take the bait that your coworker tosses your way in that meeting. You can have less influence over who's going to be elected as president in November, but you've got some, all right? So here's why this is so important. We all have that relationship that just bugs the crap out of us, or that person that we're worried about because of the choices and habits that they've got, okay? Pause. Who is that person? Who comes to mind when I say that to you? I want you to picture them. I want you to think their name. Now, pull up that annoying thing about them or that they do, okay? Now, it might be is your partner's spending habits, it might be your brother-in-law's sense of humor, your coworker's attitude, your kid's inability to pick anything up anywhere, anytime, your neighbor's drinking issues, mind making you do exercises like this. I don't know. Yeah. You know, now if you could only get into the brains, isn't this what you want to do? If you could only get into your brains with that little screwdriver and rewire those neurons a little bit, you could make them understand things the way they should, right? And then everything would be so much better. But it doesn't work. You can't do that. And the more insistent we become, the more we try to convince or cajole, the more resentment, the more friction, the more anger, the more hurt we create. And the reason is that this other person's behavior, even someone as close to you as your very own life partner or your very own child, is not completely within your circle of influence. You cannot make their choices for them. What is in my circle of influence? Whose choices can I decide what they will be? Mine. I'm within my circle of influence. So rather than be bugged by the habit of your partner or your coworker and spending years rehearsing what is wrong with them, maybe it's time to say, I can't change them. The only thing I can change is my reaction to them. So let me share with you a little history from the Meyer household, okay? This is the saga of the great sock battle. So we've got the usual South Minneapolis house with wood floors, and we taught our kids to take off their shoes when they come inside. Because of it, you know, victory, that was easy to learn it really simply. The consequence was that they ran around in their socks all the time. Now, what's wrong with that, you say? Well, let me tell you, you're not supposed to do that. Not in my world. You're going to slip and fall, which they did all the time. And those socks are going to get unbelievably dirty, and you're going to wear them out in record time so that you always got socks with holes in them. Now, my request was reasonable. All they had to do was put on their slippers or take off their socks, okay? And guess what? They did neither. I got kind of ugly on this. I mean, for some reason, this really bugged me. And I reminded, I ordered, I nagged, I mean, you name it. But this was clearly not going to be in my circle of influence. Guess what was? My reaction. Somewhere along the line, and I'm pretty sure my wife had something to do with turning the lights on for me on this, I realized that maybe I didn't have to get all worked up about this. I mean, they weren't, after all, like riding their skateboards on 35W or something. This is running around the house in their socks. So I managed to push the pause button, which helped me to check in with my destination. And then I had to ask myself, am I willing to sacrifice the quality of my relationship with my kids over the socks? I wanted to say, yeah, but I knew better than that. In the end, the answer was pretty easy. It was going to be hard to change the image I was creating of a nagging, obsessive dad, and it was going to be really easy to go to Target and buy a new 10-pack of cotton socks for them to ruin, okay? After all, what business am I in? Raising kids or chairing the Society for the Preservation of Clean Socks? I mean, come on, let's get real. So, all right, that's a silly example, but let me tell you, relationships have shipwrecked over a lot less than that. Okay, so this is your circle of influence and your circle of concern. So basic, so simple, so seldom exercised. Here's an exercise, though, that I want you to take, all right? Spend some time with your journal this week. You don't have one? No problem. We'll start writing this exercise in some notebook or a pad of paper, a document on your laptop, I don't care. Voila, now you have a journal, okay? Was that easy? Cool, huh? Okay, here's what I want you to think about, what I'd like you to work on. Think about all those people that you have as a regular part of your life and make a list of the friction points that you have with them or that you worry about regarding them. Here's the first thing I want you to do. Step one, make a list of what comes to mind. Yes, it might be a pretty long list. That's okay. We're people. We usually have long lists of things that bother or worry us about the people around us. I also want you to number them, okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, just so you keep track of them. Now, second step is this. Draw the two circles, circle of concern and the circle of influence, and put the number of each item that you listed on the part of the circle where it belongs. Your friend who chews with his mouth open, yeah, it bugs you, but sorry, that's circle concern. The fact that you and your partner have unhealthy eating habits and you think it's because they are making it be that way, well, that's your circle of influence. Those are simple examples. Some of your concerns may be a little harder to place, but it's worth thinking about them. Do your best, and as you work with it, you're going to figure it out. Okay, third step is this. You are undoubtedly going to be putting some of the things in your circle of concern or circle of influence that really bother you. You just can't let them go. All right, I want you to pay attention to those. For those, I want you to take the number of them and put it in your journal and work on a better question that is something that you could do about it, right? Making sure that you're defining it in terms of your circle of influence. Examples. You can't deal with your friends' open mouth chewing. Well, maybe you're right. I'm going to remember that every time they take another bite with their mouth open, I'm going to remember something that I love about that person. All right? It's your reaction that you can control. Remember? Now, regarding your dissatisfaction with your partner and the choices that they have for your meals, well, instead of dwelling on why they don't do a better job, maybe you're right. How can I explain the importance I feel about our diet and that and the things that I am willing to do to help, plan, to help purchase, and to help prepare all those meals. So, you know, it can be fun and not such a chore, all right? Spend some time with this exercise this week. If you're in a group, talk about what you're coming up with the people that are there with you, right? The stuff that you're discovering. Chances are you may have trouble seeing through some of the issues that you're involved with because you're just too close and you've been at it too long and you're having trouble breaking, right? Stimulus and response regarding it. And it's gonna take someone else to help you figure out just what it is and just how this can move from your circle of concern into your circle of influence. Now, if you're going through these relationship that work weeks with someone else, set a time to share what you're learning with one another, right? That may feel kind of vulnerable, but that's what we're trying to do, folks. We're trying to cultivate this within each other, with the people that we love. Openness and honesty create trust. And trust is the grease that allows the gears of relationships to turn so that they can work for us. Okay, a couple last thoughts that I want to share with you. There's a reason why being clear about what is in your circle of influence or merely in your circle of concern is crucial to your relationships. We've been hinting about this a little bit, but it deserves a little bit more straight talk. And it comes down to this basic idea that the only thing truly within your circle of influence is you. And it works like this. We human beings don't like change. We would rather do what we're already doing, even when it isn't working for us, than to change what we're doing or how we do it. Now that means when we are partly responsible for the conflicts and the problems in our relationships, which I kind of assume we always are, we tend to look to the other person for the cause. They are the reason for the problem. They need to change. The truth is often revealed in our language. I can't believe what he decided to do. I have no idea why he, or what was she thinking, or my coworker never seems to, our kid's behavior is driving me crazy, or why is she always so rude? Notice how those statements center on the other person all the time. The language shows that I see the source of the problem to be in them, where I am conveniently not responsible. I don't need to change. They do. If only I could fix them, make them see it my way, all right? That's what it's like operating in our circle of concern. Now, my circle of influence looks a lot different and makes very different types of statements. The type of statements that are in the third part of the exercise that I talked about a little bit earlier. They will focus on me and my part in the relationship and not theirs. It doesn't mean I'm assuming fault. In fact, that's what this is all about. It's about getting away from the blame game and instead looking at the dynamics of a relationship and asking how I can take responsibility for the change that needs to happen within it. So speaking from my circle of influence, I might say, I don't understand why he's doing that. I wonder how I could help him think this through. Or what in our relationship is making this person react to me this way? And how can I try to redirect this so that we can break out of this unhelpful routine? Or how can I create some structure in our household to reinforce a sense of responsibility in my children and make sure also at the same time I'm investing time with them so that they feel like we're all part of something. They aren't just getting a bunch of rules put on them because it's disturbing us grown-ups. When we live in our circles of concern, things are the other person's fault, right? We wait for them to change, or oppositely, we act beyond our influence, which means we try to coerce, to manipulate, to shame others into changes that are more convenient for us. It looks a lot different when we are living within our circles of influence. There, we aren't ignoring what others may or may not be doing, but our focus is on what we can actually do something about ourselves. And we claim responsibility for our own actions, and we realize that it's only in doing the right thing ourselves that we truly have influence over anyone else. If I want someone else to treat me with respect, I start by treating them with respect. Okay, so that begs the next question. What if I'm doing the right thing repeatedly and the other person still doesn't reciprocate? What am I going to do? If they don't take the clue and change, the relationship doesn't get any better. I've gone out of my way to show that person, to treat them with respect for days, for weeks, months, maybe even years, and they still show me no respect. What am I going to do then? Folks, all I can really say is that life is too short to wait for the other person to make the first move, or to wait for them to reward you for doing the right thing by doing the right thing in return. The question is, how long do you do the right thing, operate within your circle of influence without demanding that it will control the behavior of that other person, that you'll take responsibility for yourself despite whether they take responsibility for themselves? How many times are you going to say, I'm sorry, even though the other person has at least as much to be sorry for and they never say, I'm sorry? How many times will you forgive your sister or brother who has hurt you? How many times will you take the high road when you feel like the other person continues to take the low road anyway, when it isn't making any difference in the other person's behavior, when it seems like all you're doing is opening up a road for them to take advantage of you again? Yeah. Well, before I answer that, I want to hit pause. I want to say that if you are experiencing abuse of any sort, physical, emotional, verbal, get help. Find a professional who can help you establish important boundaries for your own safety. And if you don't know where to get that kind of help, be in touch with us and we'll try to help you get connected. I also have to say that boundaries are an important part of any relationship. And while you don't solve any problems by placing the blame on others or not claiming your own responsibility, it doesn't mean that you simply open yourself up to someone else's lack of self-awareness or self-control. Establishing clear and healthy boundaries is an important part of acting from your own circle of influence. Okay? Now that said, I want to come back to my question. How long will you continue to act responsibly from your own self-awareness, your conscience, your imagination, your independent will, even though it doesn't change the other person? I'm going to let you answer that question. The answer to it, after all, is in your circle of influence, not mine. I have enough of a wrestling match with my own answer to it, okay? All I can say is that you only have one life to be the person that you can possibly be. And the only way you will really help the world become the place that your heart hopes and dreams that it could be is to start living as if you are there right now. So, next week, we're going to be taking a look at what can make operating from our circle of influence have a lot more impact than it typically does. That's something that helps relationships work. In the meantime, I ask you to take a look at those relationships. Every one of them reflects a person whom you love, a person who has intrinsic value and promise. Reconsider your peeves, your concerns, and your worries, and explore ways to consistently act from your circle of influence and not get caught out there in your circle of concern. Thanks for caring about your relationships. We'll talk next week.
Thanks for listening. Keep this conversation going with the people in your life. Share this podcast and resources. If you're looking to support this work financially, go to fabricmpls.com/give. A 5-star rating and review will also help others find us. Thanks again.